My God, why hast thou forsaken me? That's what we're going to think about tonight. Of course, this is what our brother read for us in Mark 15 tonight. I think you all recognize this as being the words of our Lord Jesus. It's a prayer. It's a prayer. So tonight, I hope that we can imagine in our minds, just kind of thinking, meditating, about Jesus dying on the cross and saying these words for everyone there to hear, and for us, even now, to think about. Sadly, we all know the answer to this question. We know the answer to that question. God the Father has abandoned God the Son. And Jesus knows his Bible. Jesus' Bible was the Old Testament. He knows his Bible and he is quoting it on the cross. The 22nd Psalm, verse 1, is exactly this. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus knows exactly what he is doing. And that is the reason why he came to this earth. You see, for everyone else, we try to avoid death. We try to avoid our physical demise. We don't like the idea of being laid in a coffin in a box with the lid closed on our face. It's not a pleasant thought. We don't like it when it's something that happens and we watch. We don't like the idea of being put in the cold earth and dirt on top of us. But we know it's going to happen unless Jesus comes back. It's not like that with Jesus. Jesus knows exactly what he is doing and exactly why this is happening. This is why he came to this planet. Teaching? No one did better, but that's not why he came. Doctoring? No one ever did better than Jesus, but that's not why he came. Other miracles? No one ever did that like Jesus. But that's not why he came. Counseling, loving, caring, discipling, shepherding, all of it. No one ever did it like Jesus. But that's not why he came. He came for this suffering and this dying. We can read Psalm 22, verse 1. We can read this passage in Mark. But now it is not just something that he is studying. It's not just something that he is knowing. Somehow, in a way, I think is quite beyond our human intellectual ability to fully grasp. Jesus is now experiencing this. Suffering and death, separation from the Father. And he quotes Scripture. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Sadly, we know the answer. Psalm 22 continues like this. My God, why hast thou forsaken me, abandoned me? Left me alone, left me without your fellowship, no longer with me, no longer there for me. You have left me. Why hast thou forsaken me? He goes on, why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Incredible. this roaring description of Jesus on the cross is not the roaring of strength, of voice. It's the roaring of brokenness of soul. It is his soul crying out, "You're so far from helping me." He goes on, "Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not. And in the night season, and am not silent, but thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel." There's the answer. There's the answer to "Why hast thou forsaken me?" Thou art holy. God is holy. Jesus is forsaken because of holiness. We're learning and keep emphasizing in the morning service as we go through 1 John that God is light, which is awesome. If that's all it said, we'd kind of be okay with it. But that's not all it says. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. That's really the rub, I think, for us. Because none of us are all light. We're all kind of a mixed bag. That's why two people can come together and look at each other and stand right on this platform and look at each other and get all googly-eyed and all, but they're convinced, we are going to live happily ever after. And then the next day comes. And life happens. And nobody lives happily ever after until they get to heaven. That might be Hollywood. That's certainly not any of our experience in life, and it's certainly not the Bible. Thou art holy. There's the answer. Now we know why, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It's because God is holy. Or is that the answer? Isn't Jesus holy? Jesus is holy, was holy, ever shall be holy. Never anything other than utter, total, absolute, complete, perfect holiness. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Fascinating, that word me. You see, the Father is not forsaking sin here. The Father is not forsaking sinners even here. The Father is forsaking his Son, our Savior. That is why he is our Savior. That is why he is the only Savior. That is why he so clearly said, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me." This is the reason why he could say that and why it's true. Why hast thou forsaken me? That's the question. And very sadly, we know the answer. God's holiness is so clear. Habakkuk chapter 1 and verse 13 declares it like this: "Thou," speaking of God, "thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil and can not look on iniquity." But Jesus has no personal iniquity. Jesus has no personal sin. There's nothing sinful in Jesus. Jesus is sinless. So what about this question? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? We know the answer. Isaiah warned the people of God when Isaiah said to the people of God, "The Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear." Israel was under God's chastening hand. The people of God, these are not pagans. These were the people of God listening to the prophet of God, not adhering to him.
not following God, not repenting of sin, not confessing sin, but listening to some degree. He speaks to them and he says, the problem is not the Lord's hand. It's not like his hand, his arm. It's not like there's not enough distance to reach you. That's not the problem. He says, the problem is not his ear. It's not that somehow he can't hear when you are pleading with him. That's not the problem.
He went on and said, but here's the problem. Your iniquities have separated between you and your God. And listen to it. Your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. When we sin, that does not change God. It changes us. We need to have a biblical understanding and respect for sin. Not only because of what sin did to Jesus, but because what sin does to us. Always. That's why God hates sin so much. That's why God warns us so much about sin. That's why God so itemizes so clearly over and over and over that these attitudes, these thoughts, these decisions, these actions, these reactions, these words, these values that he calls sin, that he condemns, that he says, don't do, don't think, do by replacing it with these virtues. It's because God knows the power of sin. Sin doesn't change God. Sin only changes sinners. And sin separates people from God. It's fascinating to think about that. How can sin separate people from God? Many modern day, I don't want to be too derogatory, but immature believers misinterpret the word of God, and they have the idea that, well, I'm saved, therefore sin will not separate me from God. And it's quite true in an eternal sense. But sin always damages. Unless we confess it, and then God washes it away. The problem with sin is not just that we do it. The problem with sin is that it does us. And it always does. Sin doesn't change God. Sin only changes sinners. And that is why sin separates people from God. Sin is the reason God turns away his face. The Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. This is not just Old Testament teaching. This is New Testament teaching. That is why, as we mentioned before this service even began, that in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, God writes to the Corinthians and he says, because of the way you've been doing the Lord's Supper, many, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. They're dead because of the way they conducted themselves in the Lord's Supper service. That did not pay due reverence and respect and worship to the fact that God became a man for the express purpose of dying. Why hast thou forsaken me? Sadly, we know the answer to Jesus' question. Why have you forsaken me? The answer is because our sin is on him. Our sin is on Jesus. He's holy. He's perfect. He's not a sinner. He's a scapegoat. He's taking it for us. The picture of the scapegoat in Leviticus and the idea of putting the hands on the goat and sending it away. And Jesus took our sin. Every lamb, every animal ever slaughtered in the Old Testament as an offering to God, as a blood sacrifice to God, as gory, as violent, as all of that is, all together, doesn't amount to the suffering of Jesus. But it's a picture, all of it, of sin. Why don't we offer blood sacrifices today? Has sin somehow been diminished? No. Sin has not been diminished. We don't offer blood sacrifices because we remember and show His death till He comes. All the blood sacrifices pointed to Him. That's all shadow. This is the reality. Our sin is on Jesus. The perfect judicial punishment was executed on Jesus. Why was Jesus forsaken? It is our fault. We sin. Jesus took our place, our punishment, our suffering, our separation, our death, so that we can know and love and follow Him. It is not so we can go free. It is so that we can go free from sin, from sinning. It is not so that we can somehow be away from the curse of sin and then just go out and live it up and have great freedom and liberty to live however we want now because we don't have guilt. That is a false gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ speaks of the death and the resurrection of Christ. And those who know Him want to love Him and follow Him because it's my fault. He died for me. That is what the Lord's Supper is all about. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Very sadly, we know the answer.